Welcome to the Disciple Makers Podcast, featuring biblical teaching from Disciple Makers Ministry to college students. Rounding out our series of workshops from Disciple Makers Focus 2014 is Ryan Stone's on a subject that nearly every college student can relate to. How do we live a godly life in a media-saturated culture? Here is Ryan's talk entitled, Holiness in a Facebook World.
All right, there it is. Cool. So if the population of the world, if social media companies were considered in the population of the world, this is what we got. China, yeah, it's pretty big. India, pretty big. Facebook's in third place, 1.1 billion users on it. All right, it's pretty crazy. And you see that Google Plus and Twitter, other social media, are included there as well. The United States has like 250 million or something like that. Brazil's around there as well. Daily Facebook usage, 10.5 billion minutes just across everybody that uses it. Think about internet access, that's a big percentage, 91% for social activities, whether that's Facebook or something else. And if you're a smartphone owner, 73% of them access it through apps. So that's just the world at large. Let's just see what it's like in this room. Who of you have a Facebook profile? Wow, everyone, okay. All right, who doesn't have a Facebook profile? Just very few, right? Now here's the thing, I've heard that with younger students and stuff that there's this increasing trend of actually Facebook is for my mom and I use Twitter. Is anybody in that camp? You kind of have to be pretty bold. Okay, cool. Who has Facebook on their smartphone? Who accesses it every day? Twice a day? Three times a day? All right, yeah, so it's clear with a smartphone, it's just really easy. Yeah, it's just really easy to access Facebook. So you look at just this room, you look at just the world at large, and then I think of my own life. A couple weeks ago, I had a recent relationship status change. Which is really exciting. I just got engaged about 2.5 weeks ago, and I put it on Facebook. And actually what I did to you all and the rest of the Facebook world is exactly what I struggle with Facebook. For me, in times of kind of boredom or feeling like, man, my life just isn't how I want it to be, I'm on my phone scrolling through the Facebook feed, looking at people who have these happy moments. I basically posted these just awesome pictures of probably one of the most exciting days of my life. And then you guys just get to look at that. So, and you know, it's not all bad. It's kind of fun to hear what's going on in people's lives. But you know, that's kind of where I turn when I'm bored or when I just want to distract myself. And so it's clear that the Facebook is just huge. It's around the whole world. It's within our lives every day. Typically, I've seen three responses to this idea of Facebook, and particularly in thinking about it in line with God's world and in line with the Christian life. First is enthusiastic embrace. Facebook's awesome. I love it. I'm just going to use it without really thinking about it. Secondly is strict separation. Think Amish, okay? Facebook, and Amish is an extreme, of course. But think of just, I'm not going to touch Facebook because it can tempt me to sin or is something that, yeah, I just don't even want to mess with that. What I'm going to advocate here is disciplined discernment. It's taking a look at Facebook, thinking about it critically, and then discerning how can I use this in a godly way and not in an ungodly way. And the good news is that we have all the resources we need to figure this out. Facebook is a relatively new invention in the history of the world. Big emphasis on relatively. It's just been the past generation. I think it came on board in my lifetime. So, but God's word has everything we could possibly need for life and practice and just living in this world. We can actually go to God's word to figure out how we can use Facebook. It's pretty cool. Why does this idea of holiness on Facebook matter? As I mentioned before, you might be tempted to think, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. It's just Facebook, right? But check this verse out, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Ooh, that's awesome, right? But this grace, verse 12, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You might take present age and say present Facebook age. This grace of God really teaches us how we can use this tool that we have in Facebook. So my goal here in this seminar is not to be exhaustive. Most of us in this room have experience on Facebook, but my goal is to really get the conversation started. How can we live upright and godly lives in this Facebook world? One preface as well, I got a lot of my thinking from a guy named Tim Challies. He spoke at our staff conference for Disciple Makers last summer. And so a lot of the first and second point just comes from his thinking. Even the idea of the three responses, that's all his language. I think it's great. If you really want to get into this, he wrote a book on technology, which is really good as well. So that being said, if you look at your outlines, I'm going to go in three places. First, a theology of Facebook, sort of what should I think about Facebook. Secondly, we're going to look at the risks and opportunities of Facebook. And thirdly, I'll just wrap it up and summarize with some practical things that we can do. So without further ado, a theology of Facebook. I'm going to put Facebook in this broader category of technology, of just these things that we as mankind have created. And yeah, unashamed, Tim Challies, here's his definition. The creative activity of using tools to shape God's creation for practical purposes, carrying out the creation mandate to fill and subdue the earth. If you're like me, you might be wondering, what's the creation mandate? I'll tell you. In the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, after God has created man and woman and said it was good, he basically gives this command to them. He gives this creation mandate. He says to Adam and Eve, he says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. So this language of filling and subduing is this creation mandate. And so basically what that means is that as stewards of this earth and as co-creators made in God's image, we can actually create technology and really fill and subdue the earth. An example of this would be fire. It's a tool, and it's great. All of a sudden, you can live in places like Canada because you can be warm, right? You can use fire to refine metals such that you can till the ground and actually do farming, right? Now, this is thousands of years old, of course. But Facebook really falls in the same category of a tool we can use to kind of shape God's creation and really shape these things that we have already created anyway. So the internet, relationships, like Facebook really serves to be a tool in order to do this. So what should I believe about technology? This is just sort of a foundation before we get into some practicals. First, this ability to create is a gift of God. In the garden, this creation mandate that God gave us was actually before sin had entered the world. And so creating technology is really a gift of the Lord. However, technology is subject to the fall of man. When mankind rebelled against God in Genesis chapter 3, shortly after this creation mandate, sin, suffering, and the curse came into the world. And technology is subject to that thing, to that curse and that fall of man. And so consequently, it's the human application of this technology, not the technology itself, that determines whether it's used for good or evil. So fire, it's not good, it's not evil, it just is. It can be used for good, it can be used to burn people. Likewise, Facebook, it's not good, it's not evil, it just is. And so that's how we'll really think about it. And it's our Christian responsibility to really think through, how can I honor God with this tool? Sort of a closing thought, as we're thinking about this, what should I think about Facebook and this theology of it? John Calvin, one of our church fathers, said this. He said, from this we may gather that man's nature, so to speak, is a perpetual factory of idols. Perpetual factory of idols. And basically what he's getting at is that mankind is fundamentally a worshiping kind of creation. And fundamentally we're creating these idols that we worship. You might think of idolatry as things in ancient times of wood or stone or gold that people bow down to and worship. But the thing is, even in our modern days, we're still doing this. We're still churning out idols from our nature and from our hearts. And rather than actually worshiping these created things in and of themselves, typically idolatry for us looks like using these created things to kind of get at these idols in our lives. Everything can be and has been an idol, and Facebook really can fit into that category as well. One thing to maybe determine, you know, is Facebook an idol, is to say, can I actually stop looking at Facebook? Like, am I addicted to it? That's can be an indicator of worship or idolatry. You know, another thing to think about is to ask, what is Facebook getting me? And, you know, maybe it's love, it's respect, it's significance. These are some indicators. So that's our theology of Facebook. One thing to close, and this is really going to set up what we're going to do here in the seminar. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And what we're about to do together, corporately, is to say, you know, what are these risks and opportunities for Facebook? Well, how can we discern what the will of God is for us in that, and what is good and acceptable and perfect in Facebook, so that we would avoid being conformed to this world. So that being said, Facebook, the risk and opportunity. And because this is a seminar, now it's our turn together corporately. I've done some thinking on this, but my guess is that corporate wisdom will be helpful. So first, let's just talk about these risks of Facebook. I said in the first point that it's human application of Facebook that will determine whether it's good or evil. So let's just talk about some of the risks. What, in your experience, are some of the risks of using this tool of Facebook? Yeah.
Jealousy is one.
Jealousy? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Comparing.
Yeah, comparing. Is my life, you know, better or the same, or what should I be doing? Or yeah. Yeah.
You start to attention seek rather than going to God.
Right. Yeah. I go to Facebook just to feel like people are paying attention to me. Yeah.
Well, kind of going off of that is like not so much Facebook. For me, Instagram, which is basically the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. I'll put up a picture, and if I don't get a certain amount of likes, it's like...
You're crushed.
I'm crushed.
Yeah, just looking for likes. You put yourself out there and put a cool picture, and you're like, man, everyone just thought that was lame. Yeah, I gotta take it off. It only has one like. Or there's no likes. Yeah.
What about learning to communicate in status updates, but you don't really know how to do that in real life?
Yeah, that's big. I mean... You know, Facebook, it's not really done, giving us anything that we didn't already do, if that makes sense. You know, since the beginning of time, humans were relating to one another. Facebook just allowed us to do it in a different way. And so to begin to say, my sole form of communication is 140 characters. If you're on Twitter or with Facebook, it can be a little longer. That's really key. Am I actually relating to the people in front of me? So... Yeah, Clint.
Kind of along the same lines, it begins to shape how you view, like, real time, what you're doing. Like, mm-hmm. It's not significant unless there's a Facebook album
right.
of this situation or an Instagram yeah. picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I think, with dating my now fiance, it's like, okay, is this official if it's on Facebook? You know? we're for Facebook official. And I joked about it, but... Yet I put it on Facebook, so, Yeah, Brian.
There's a temptation to sort of craft an image of yourself. Mm-hmm. You sort of stop learning how to be vulnerable and start creating
right.
who you want to be perceived as.
Yeah, sort of projecting this image.
I saw mm-hmm. a t-shirt that said, I hope someday your life is as awesome as it looks on Facebook.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. So with this recent engagement of mine, like, the pictures were awesome. We had a friend of mine who's a photography art major. And she just did an awesome job. And it just like makes it look like this is the best day ever. This is awesome. But it doesn't actually show how much struggle, how much I sin against Camille. It just doesn't tell the whole story, you know. Yeah. It makes it seem like my life is perfect, and it's not. So, yeah.
Facebook really opens the door to allow you to just be pumped with false doctrines. Mm-hmm. You know, like all your peers that maybe might not be Christians just mm-hmm. posting things that. You know, you tend to start to kind of accept and just,
right.
you're just getting pumped with false doctrine.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's really key. You can really put forth your worldview, and actually, by being in that world, you're being affected by what's coming at you. Yeah, these false doctrines. That's really great. Yeah, Colleen.
I think it just sucks time. Like, I'll go on Facebook and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to check it.
Right.
And
yeah.
I don't even know what I've accomplished. Like, I haven't accomplished anything. And, like, yeah. I'm meant to be spending that time doing other more significant things.
Right.
So just accept that.
Yeah. Facebook can be a huge time waster. Zach?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about status updates, and I think there are even times where you can disguise anger because there's no tone in status updates. So I remember I was watching a football game, and I was angry. It's like, I can't believe that but it doesn't sound angry. It's just like, oh, I was watching a sports game. But really, I was just hiding anger.
Yeah.
And it's like, instead of going to the Lord in repentance, idolizing the football team, I was NBD, you know, it's not a big deal. But
yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Your shirt.
Cyberbullying.
Cyberbullying. Yeah, I think as you read news stories and stuff, you hear about. I think I've heard of several school-age kids that are committing suicide or harming themselves because of just cyberbullying and the threat of that.
Well, they actually have a movie with a girl from Disney Channel that made a movie on cyberbullying. I think it deals with Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
that's great. Yeah, go for it.
No, I don't want to be cuteness.
Of cuteness?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This idolatry of being cute, I think. Yeah.
Looking at cute animals.
Yeah. Looking at cute animals. Yeah. Yeah, you see the cute cats that come across? Yeah. And just yeah, that's great. Yeah, what else we got?
I was gonna say opens the door to sexual sin. Like you could see like an album, like, oh, your friends at the beach, and like, oh, let me see these, and there's like all these albums.
Right. Yeah. 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 The temptation to lust and sexual sin is huge. As people post pictures that are okay culturally, but if you struggle with lust, it doesn't take much for it to become a major temptation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ray.
I was gonna say that like you're exploiting yourself and your family as as Facebook develops. Like you can see what city you were in. You can see like if I sent you a message, I could tell if you look at it or not. It affects the jobs that you want.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful what pictures you have, and then it can affect your future relationships because of the pictures you have.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's amazing if you go on my Facebook. And you click back on the picture, you can see me with Justin Bieber hair in junior high school. Like you can see my whole life. So I'm glad I didn't hear that. Dave? Yeah.
I think too, we really are losing any sense of privacy. You think you're private,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a picture posted of my wife and I kissing. We didn't think anyone noticed. They took a picture of it, put it on Facebook, and we're like, I mean, not that we were ashamed of it.
Yeah.
It's a good kiss, but it was a private moment. No one asked our permission, and they posted it on Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, loss of privacy. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think there's that power that says a fool gives full vent to his anger.
Yeah.
And that, in a sense, like Facebook kind of creates this world where there's no accountability. So I have freedom to say whatever I want to say.
Yeah.
And there's no face-to-face reaction. There's no response to it. So.
Yeah, you might even get likes to it. You know, like, oh, okay, this is cool. Yeah, it's really true. A fool gives vent to his anger. But I can't remember what the second half of it is, but a wise man, thinks about what he actually says in the Facebook world, So, something like that. Yeah.
I think that what I noticed, not so much with Facebook, so I don't use Facebook anymore, but with Instagram, it's like, I have to make sure I have more followers than people I'm following, so it turns into like a popularity.
Yeah. Yeah, how many friends do I have, and then you have 500 friends on Facebook, and you're like, how many of these people are actually my friends, but you still got 500 on it, Yeah. What else we got? There's just tons of risks, really, so.
Well, people know I'm a Viner, and that wastes time big time.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for the Vine. I make, useless videos, and just to get followers, it's ridiculous.
Right, yeah. It's the amount of time just craving... craving followers and craving that next, big Vine that everyone thinks is awesome. Yeah. Yeah, Kendra.
I think one of the things that I have the most difficulty with Facebook is, and texting in general, is that I can feel like I can say anything and then not feel like I think people can read it however they want and I forget.
Yeah.
They might read it in a way that I don't mean for it to be read.
Right.
So I think it's easy for me to cross lines in relationships and friendships with people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's I've gotten myself into trouble many times by not thinking about, you know, texting or Facebook. I think a good question to ask is this the proper medium for the conversation that we're having? Yeah. Like, is Facebook the proper medium, or should I talk to somebody face to face where I can see their body language? You know, one thing where I'm like this, saying something is completely different than if I'm like, yeah. You know. Yeah, and different things like that. Like, face to face can just be much more rich as far as communication and loving one another. So, yeah, right.
I was gonna say also with apps like Tinder, we're like destroying the platform of dating. Like, it's almost like a superficial thing. Like, you don't have to really get to know a person.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep it at the surface.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's this
dating.
A dating app. Yeah.
People.
Yeah. There's this huge temptation for just surface level stuff. Yeah.
Even now there's apps, you know, getting up from that. Even there's apps like with Doing Scout to meet friends, to meet people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just interesting. Social interaction is just, yeah.
I imagine we're going to do the opportunities in a minute. So this sounds like a rant on my part. But it almost gives an opportunity to say things that you would actually normally have the self-control not to say.
Right.
So, like, there's this new thing. It's like, to the lady in the grocery store who... said this to me, and it was really mean, and you're writing a letter to the but it's really
right.
A public thing.
For right.
You.
Yik Yak?
You wouldn't normally
anyone?
Say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's this app called Yik Yak, which is, it's big at Lafayette, and basically you can say whatever you want on this thing. It's anonymous, and it's just within like a half mile geographic radius.
Like, I wouldn't normally say that.
Yeah. So it's like, it's basically like Facebook, but Yik Yak is like the next level, because you could, you know, likewise, even with your identity, sometimes you'd say things on Facebook that you just never say in like a big room. I'd never shout that out, what I'm shouting on Facebook, you know. Yeah, Zach.
I think overall, thinking about the Tinder, I think Facebook, it can create a sense of intimacy without actually going deep. So it's like, oh yeah, people know my life. People know things about me. I know about things about people, but really you don't. There's just this sense where, oh, there's an intimacy here.
Right.
But really, you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's very shallow,
very... Right. Spendy. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to keep moving on. I think we could keep talking about the different facets of the risks of using this Facebook tool in this broken world. I think two things that... yeah, just wanted to hit on again. This idea of lost solitude. You know, it's amazing in a quiet time or something, or I'm just trying to reflect on who God is and what he's doing in my life. My phone buzzes, and you know, I recently took Facebook off my phone, but even texts and stuff, like, you're just never disconnected. How much actual, when's the last time you took 2 hours interrupted by your phone? So that's one thing. The other thing is just this whole category of words. We hit at some of these things, but James, in his letter. In the New Testament, says that the tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison, and it's just capable of doing a lot of damage. And you can often see people complaining, boasting, coveting, you know, swearing, taking God's name in vain, venting. All these things are risks for this medium of social media, in which we're using words, but we're, you know, typing them out. So I think that's enough sort of ragging on Facebook for right now. What are some of the opportunities? For Facebook, like, how can we use it for good? Yeah,
it allows you to stay connected with people that you wouldn't have a chance to be in contact with.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. To stay connected with people. I actually have a really close friend from middle school that I didn't talk to for a couple years. Found him on Facebook, and now I see him like twice a year. And it's been a really great thing. He came to Christ in college, in the same way that I came to follow Christ, and it's just been a really sweet fellowship with him. So yeah, sure would. Yeah, right. Yeah, I know a lot of the fellowships have Facebook groups, and those are good things to share information or share helpful things. Catherine?
Yeah, I know, like, we do a lot of event planning on Facebook, and so that's just really helpful because you can just invite whoever.
Right.
And so it's just, like, very inclusive.
Right.
Which is really nice.
Yeah, sort of in a same way that anonymity can be kind of a downfall of Facebook, it can almost be a helpful thing of just saying, hey, like we're having this big, you know, Good Friday Ignite service. And that's, I guess, the Mason-Dixon team had. Like, yeah, come to it, and we'll put it on Facebook, blow it up. So, yeah.
Me, it is almost like it's almost like helping to inspire people.
Yeah, to inspire people?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, I love it, like my poetry is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so posting, you know, helpful things to encourage and inspire people. I've gotten a lot of like good like blog posts or good articles just through looking at Facebook. Oh wow, like Dave Kiefer shared this with Ben Drake and Ben Drake shared it with them. Oh, I'm gonna read this too, and then we'll talk about it, and it's great. It's edifying for people. Yeah. Rob?
Now my Facebook is just covered with all daily devotions. I don't use Facebook just to write like my personal status anymore. For the past year, I just every single day I've just been putting like verses, Bible quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I usually get, you know, a lot of likes from, like, people in Christian Fellowship. I'm really posting, you know, to get people, like, other friends that aren't Christians to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nick?
I was just going to say that outreach for anyone who wants to just see what you're thinking.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you can, in a sense, see what you're about on Facebook. People, our culture is on Facebook, and so what's your presence like on Facebook where people could see it?
Yeah,
yeah. Zach?
I think going off that, I've often found that Facebooking people I've met, actually, I also need to remember their name when I actually see them.
Again. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't. There's so many people that actually, this I might have done it with people in this room where I met them at a previous conference, and like, glad you have a name tag, you know. but yeah, but then there's other people where I, you know, I met them, friend them on Facebook, and yeah, it helps me remember and puts a picture to their face. I remember some of the things that they're about on Facebook, so. That's really great. Yeah, Marty.
So when students go abroad, it's helpful to stay in touch. Yeah. Like yeah. Going to Japan.
Yeah.
See what's going on.
Yep.
Even
yeah.
Even pictures, which is nice.
Yeah. This modern age is unprecedented keeping in touch with people. So. Yeah. Go for it.
As they were saying about outreach, like I know a couple of times, like from my non-Christian friends, when they like posted about like really bad stuff that's happening to them, it's given me an opportunity to like share my faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, Cassie.
Yeah, and again with like outreach, like we talk about like going to people where they're at. And like you said, like we have a Facebook culture. So
yeah.
Like going to people where they're at and like meeting them, like is it the best way to form relationships? Like, maybe no. But like it's how people in like our world form relationships. So like
right.
If you can meet them where they're at and then use that as a springboard to like form like a healthy godly relationship, like
yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's really great. That's really great. Brian?
Bouncing off of that it gives us opportunities to follow up with people. So somebody posts something on Facebook, you know, had a rough day or something.
Yeah.
You know, then I can then ask them about that later and actually care for them.
Right. Yeah. I can tell you how many people, too, have just congratulated me on the engagement because I saw it on Facebook. Like, okay, that's cool. But, you know, in another way, too, just anything that's going on in someone's life, you can follow up with it. Yeah.
I don't know if it's, like, good or bad, but it's, like, some people are very shy, but it's an opportunity to be yourself, to say how you really feel and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Other opportunities for using Facebook. How can we use it for good? I think one idea for me is to really take Facebook and say, you know, how can I use this to really touch base with people and encourage people. So maybe even using private messages to thank people for their service, maybe people in your fellowships or in your churches and stuff, or even just to encourage them, yeah. So, Ray?
I think with things like Skype, you can use it as be an ambassador, whereas you could actually have Bible studies with people anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And do it online.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just tons of, sorry, Dave, you got one?
Yeah. Yeah. And probably there's never been easier to get a message out.
Right.
And, you know, it's just what we're about. Is the message of the gospel going to the nations.
Right.
Now, I've never met them, but there might be somebody who first heard the gospel on Facebook. It's possible.
Right. I read some sort of thing that just, yeah. Instead of the Apostle Peter preaches in the book of Acts, and people are cut to the heart because of his words. You know, maybe in Facebook in the same way, people would be cut to the heart, repent. I'm not sure. I mean, I think I've read articles that have led me to repent of sins in my life. So it wouldn't be too much of a leap to say that somebody saw a post on Facebook and said, "Wow, God is real. I need to repent." You know, so
Maybe not necessarily that extreme of an example, but the seed that was planted. You know, someone who seen one of their friends or peers post something about Christian fellowship and then asked them about it, got invited in, and then that's how the ball started rolling. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yes, John.
It is so cool. Like, one of my friends had the animal she raised. But the singing that is, I want to do that is singing of God work with them. And so it's finally all about the gospel. And so is there the idea, example of the gospel with animal or with Brian, see, adopting the kid, it is like, oh my good,
Yeah, that's great, John. So, yeah, we can sort of be an example. I think you mentioned Brian C. Adopting, and it's sort of being inspired and seeing these examples of godly people. That's great. Let's move on for the sake of time. There's just some risks and opportunities. Again, Facebook, it's not good, it's not bad, it just is. It just depends on how we use it that determines whether it is good or evil. So just a couple of practical considerations in way of summary. So some of these things we've talked about, but I divide it into three categories of big things to consider and how do I be holy in this Facebook world. So first, guarding the heart. If you were in the men's seminar earlier, Michael actually mentioned this verse. Jesus says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell." And this is a pretty extreme statement. I think a question to ask is, does your eye cause you to sin? My eye didn't cause me to sin. It was my heart and my flesh, right? But what Jesus is doing here is he's making a hyperbole. Like, sin is a big deal. So if Facebook is causing you to sin, cut it off. Like, take drastic measures. You know, if you're struggling with lust, you know, maybe I think Robbie mentioned some pictures of people. You know, maybe it's time to actually unfriend them on Facebook. I think that's something that we rarely consider, or even just to block them. I think another thing, I was talking to Mark Fodale about this, and he mentioned that, I think it'd be okay with me saying this, but just the ads on Facebook can be tempting. Sort of an interesting thing that I discovered is this extension on a browser called Adblock Plus. And so actually when I open up Facebook on my browser, I don't get any ads. If you're interested in that, I can tell you all the details about that. But it's great because all of a sudden, ads, like, it's not even a temptation anymore. So that's one thing. I think another thing is that if you're running to Facebook, like when you're bored, or you're running to it when you feel like your life just isn't significant enough, or you're running to it to get respect or admiration, maybe to take some time and fence off your Facebook time and say, maybe I'm going to check it once a day. And when I check it, I'm actually going to think practically, I want to use this for good, to relate with people, not to kind of feed this idolatry of mine. You know, maybe in lieu of guarding the heart, you don't know what Facebook is kind of getting at. You know, maybe take a time and just fast from it for a little while. And that might expose a little bit of what you're fearful of or what you're missing as you live life outside of this Facebook world and say, oh no, like I'm missing out on everything. And then you're like, well, maybe there's some idolatry going on there. So that's one practical consideration. Secondly, this idea of, bless you, yeah, living as light. And Jesus says, a little bit before that other thing that I mentioned, he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, question to ask, are you harming Jesus' witness by your presence on Facebook? I've seen some Christians being very condemning of people. And you maybe, this doesn't happen as much as college students that I'm friends with, but condemning people politically and just using language that is not honoring and giving grace to people. So even if you disagree with somebody, ask, like, is this harming Jesus' witness? Is this putting a stumbling block other than the gospel in front of people? You know, maybe you're a diehard Democrat or a diehard Republican, but by saying that all Republicans are evil or all Democrats are evil, you're actually just cutting off people who say, yeah, I am that, and I'm not evil. So, yeah, it's just something to think about. You know, helpful verse, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Very practically, before you post your 140 characters, or before you post your picture, or before you post your rant, Ephesians 4:29, is this corrupting? Does it build people up? Does it fit the occasion? Does it give grace to those who hear? Yeah, this isn't optional. Like, this is what we're commanded to do as followers of Jesus and as Christians. So that's something to really consider. You know, another thing, like, am I complaining here? Complaining wouldn't fit Ephesians 4:29. And grumbling, that's not something that is lauded as a child of God. And then thirdly, this idea of just redeeming Facebook. Asking, you know, proactively, and we talked about some of these things, how can I actually do good in the Facebook world? How can I kind of look at Facebook and say, you know, how can I use this tool, this thing that God's given to reach the nations, and how can I bring God's kingdom to bear on this Facebook world? I often find that I typically say, okay, that's bad, stop doing that. I rarely actually think of the good side of how can I actually utilize this opportunity for the glory of God. So just wanted to end with one of our forefathers, John. In 2 John, it's probably a book that a few of you have spent much time with. But he actually had an equivalent to Facebook in his day. It was something called a written letter. it's a form of communication, a technological innovation of paper, of writing instrument, that he can actually communicate with people without being face-to-face to them. Right. It's amazing, right? So check this out. It's just so applicable. Yeah, I guess Facebook. Yeah, right. So he says, though I have much to write to you, and he's writing to Christians, though I have much to write to you, I'd rather not use paper and ink. I'd rather not use my book. I'd rather not use Facebook, right? Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. This is crazy. It's all of his use of Facebook. He says, yeah, this is good. Do I have much to write to you? He wrote a letter, so he found use in it. But his greater hope is that his joy could be complete. The people he was seeing, their joy would be complete. And really, his greater purpose is that to give God the glory, and for the church, a capital C, the church corporate, for their joy to be complete, knowing Jesus more. Helping each other to know him until Jesus comes back. So that's really our vision. Use Facebook, use it to God's glory, but strive more towards the fleshly, face-to-face relationship so that our joy would be complete. Any just final questions or comments? We got a couple minutes left before the end here. Yeah, Dave.
I just wondered if you had thoughts on how do you know are there any signs or warning flags? Like, mm-hmm. Is it okay to post pictures of my breakfast? But, you know, like a lot of people do that. And it doesn't seem to be any. Like, are there kind of guardrails or warning signs that you've seen that
right. helped you? Yeah, you know, I think, as far as, you know, how do I think through, you know, is this a good way to go? Like, what are some warning signs? I mean, I think As far as actually like posting things, I think that the Ephesians 4:29 mm-hmm. thing is good to go. I don't typically post pictures of my breakfast, so I just typically my Facebook presence is actually probably a lot less than most people, just in a sense of I just don't do that. So I think that's something you probably have to just reckon with God's word and say, okay, so is this, like, is posting a picture of my breakfast, is that honoring to God? Is that giving grace? Yeah, I mean, I think another thing is that with my Facebook usage, I can often tell, if I'm running to it because I'm working on, say, a Facebook seminar, and I'm feeling like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I can say anything really significant here. So I'm gonna go to Facebook. Oh, somebody left a notification. Like, it's just this sense in my heart where I'm running from that which I'm called to do. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, something is running off the rails there. Or if I'm experiencing deep despair or sadness or frustration, then that can typically be an indicator for me that my idols are being kind of activated, if you will. So, yeah, Brian.
Yeah, just my second, with those three categories you gave us in the beginning, the enthusiasm, embrace, strict separation, discipline, discernment, I think the big question that it sounds like you're stirring up is just why? Why am I doing it? Why am I using Facebook? Mm-hmm. And just like even to pause ourselves and say, kind of ask the question and consider before we just assume.
Yeah. And I think, too, sort of along those lines, like I know some brothers and sisters in the Lord who have said, I'm just not going to use social media because of the temptation to sin or particularly to lust, I think. And I think that, by no means is it a law that you should have Facebook. But I think you really need to consider that why question of, okay, why am I doing this? Like, what am I missing out on? And that's just really something to get a lot of counsel on and to think about. So, yeah.
There are times where we can post, I think, really good biblical things and mm-hmm. have people who speak out against it.
Right.
Sometimes really gracious. Mm-hmm. Sometimes definitely not very gracious in opposition. I've been in done that on both ends, and I'm like, well, how do I know when to say, mm-hmm. all right, this isn't wise to communicate, keep communicating, say, if we're going to talk about this needs to be face-to-face.
Right.
And when is it wise to say, hey, can I share my perspective on these points? I really appreciate that. Like, what's the wisdom in that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. I have an uncle who's pretty opposed to Christianity, and so I've shared some things, and it's sort of blown up this large discussion of, okay, so how do I handle this? Do I handle this in a public way, or do I handle it privately? And typically, instead of kind of making a big blow up and putting words on a Facebook page that could be interpreted in so many ways, I typically will run with him in particular to a private message. So I think that's a great question. We're at time, so we'll get it later or afterwards. But thank you all for coming. Let me pray, and I'll send you on your way. Let's pray. Father, thank you just for the opportunities of Facebook. Father, would you help us to live upright, godly, and holy lives in this present age? Lord, would you help us not to tip towards legalism or to cheap grace, but to think about Facebook in a way such that we would be holy as we live in this Facebook world. Ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Teaching from Disciple Makers. To learn more about Disciple Makers, check out our website at www.dm.org. Follow us on Twitter at Disciple Makers, or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Disciple Makers. Disciple Makers, reaching the campus, reaching the world.